All right, we're in the book of Daniel. We're going to study Daniel 3, verse 17 through 30 this morning. We're going to pick up where we left off 3 weeks ago. I'm a little rusty. You know, one thing about teaching is you got to keep it up. It's just like a machine. You got to keep it oiled. So I'm glad to be back in the saddle again. And we're going to continue with our study of the book of Daniel. What a wonderful book this is. It gives us information about where we are today as far as history is concerned, for it foretells the age of the nations, the age of the Gentile nations. And you remember where we are. The three Hebrew children have refused to bow to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar the king has erected on the plain of Dura. That's where our scene is. It's called the Plain of Dura in Babylon. And the three Hebrew children had refused to obey the command to bow down to the great image that Nebuchadnezzar had erected as a centerpiece of a new religion that is designed to unify the nation. Remember, the dream that he dreamt showed him that his nation, although the head of gold, would soon disintegrate into other nations, which would culminate in feet made of iron and clay, a degeneration of the nations, and Nebuchadnezzar would have none of that. You know, he did not understand that when God says something, it will come about and you can't make changes to it. You say, well, I'll by my actions make changes to what God says. Well, you're not going to do it. God's sovereign. God's going to do what he will. But Nebuchadnezzar said, no, I'll do what I will, and I'll make this great idol, which will be to unify my nation around a new religion. But we're told in chapter 3 that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which was the Babylonian names given to these Hebrews, they took no time, they consulted no advisors, they consulted no polls, they did not seek out the political correctness police, they didn't put their finger in the air to see which way the wind was blowing, and therefore they were not careful to give an answer which would enhance their physical well-being. You know, a lot of times we do that. We're given choices to stand or to fall, and we measure whether we'll stand or fall based upon our physical well-being. Well, as a Christian, we have no right to do that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took no care before they answered the king. No words were parsed, no double meanings given, no wiggle room was sought with which to avoid the fiery furnace. This was right in front of them. They could see the fiery furnace. That was their punishment. So this is what they said after they took no care. If it be so, this is in Daniel 3, 17 through 18, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You know, your God is able to do anything. Oh, you say, well, I'm really in a fix now. I don't think God can deliver me. Oh, yes, God can deliver you if he chooses to. So they said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, they didn't know that God was going to deliver them from the furnace, but they knew that God was going to deliver them from Nebuchadnezzar's hand. If they burned in the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar would no longer have power over them because they would now stand in the presence of God. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. My, can you imagine standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar and say, we're not going to do what you want us to do? That's a fearful thought. You know, the ruler that has power over life or death tells you to do something and you have the courage in Christ to say that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You see, they knew that it was wise. Wisdom is called for here. And you can learn wisdom by the scriptures if you want wisdom. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask of God and he'll give it to you. And they knew that it was wise to indeed obey God rather than man. And when the choice was forced, they knew not to fear the one who could only kill the body. For they chose to fear the one who had power to cast into hell. Fear the one that can kill the body or fear the one that can cast into hell. That's the two choices. You know, but the age that we live in, man thinks they only have one choice. They think not about what God can do. They only think about what man can do, and therefore they fear man. And to fear man is to put yourself in a snare. So they feared God, who could cast them into hell, did not fear Nebuchadnezzar, who could only destroy the body. You know, you're not the body, are you? Oh, yes, I'm the body. I'm my body. No, you're not the body. You live in the body. The body is your house. You someday will move out of that house. And God's going to give you a new house. It's going to be a better house. It's going to be a finer house. It's not going to be a house of this world. It's going to be a house of the next world. So they understood this. And they knew that Nebuchadnezzar could kill their bodies, but they knew that he could not cast them into hell, so they chose to serve God. Now, needless to say, Nebuchadnezzar's reaction to their rebellion was not a surprise. He had spoken, and what Nebuchadnezzar ordered came about. Now, if you're the boss, what you order should come about, should it not? If it doesn't, then you're not the boss. Nebuchadnezzar was the big boss. There was never an order from Nebuchadnezzar's mouth that was not carried out. Daniel 3:19 through 23, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. These three were ruining his worship service. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. So the furnace people said, well, let's see now. We put in 10 logs. We've got to put in 60 more logs to get it 7 times more. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They dare not turn around and say, it's too hot, king. But they gave up their lives because they knew the power of the king. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. That's the picture here. On the plain of Dura. The order went out, heat up the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And the order was immediately carried out, instant obedience followed. No opportunity or no consideration that his word be ignored by the furnace tenders, because they would either add fuel or become fuel for the fire. The multitude stood around. I'm sure they were shaking in their boots. Don't know if they had boots, but they were shaking in whatever they had. They watched this play unfold. The drama was heavy. Now, it seems that the offenders could be pushed into the furnace from the top. That seems to be the indication. And then the king was apparently able to see into the furnace from the side door that was used to fuel the fire. The furnace tenders were satisfied that the king's command of 7 times hotter temperature had been reached, and the signal was relayed to the king. And the king's command, cast them into the burning fiery furnace, resounded over the plain of Dura. All ears heard it, because I'm sure that plain was chosen for its acoustic quality, so that when the musical instruments were played and they were told to bow down, all could hear the command of the king. We see the 3 Hebrews bound with ropes. They were still clothed in their palace garb. They were carried to the furnace by these soldiers and thrown in, and then the soldiers were overcome by the heat. We don't have to wonder that the furnace was 7 times hotter. Those that threw them into the fire were consumed. All who witnessed this had no hope for the 3 Hebrews. But you know, where God is, there's always hope. Isn't that wonderful? Where God is, there's always hope. These 3 had taken the stand, and they knew they were on their way to see their God. Odds against them, 1,000,000 to 1, 2,000,000 to 1. No bets were taken on the plain of Dura that day, because it was such a long shot. No one would believe it. No one could survive even the normal heat of the furnace, yet alone 7 times hotter. Cast into the furnace from the top, arms and legs bound. The king intending to see them no more, have these rebels cast away, so my worship service can go on, and this will just be a little bump in the road. But something happened in verse 24. The king looked in the furnace to see the 3 souls burning up. And we're told in verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied. Now that's astonished to us. I think it's a better word. It kind of indicates that he was made like stone. He was just taken aback. His mouth was agape. He was aghast. All of these things. But he was astonied, it says. He rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Doesn't believe his eyes. Looks in the fire and he sees 4 men. They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Do you dare think that they would say, no, king? No, whatever the king said, it was true. It was defined as true. When he said it, it was true. The king said it must be true. So they agreed, yes, we threw 3 men in the fire. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men. There's 4 men loose, and they're walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. Can you imagine that? 7 times hotter, no hurt, walking in the fire. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. I don't know how he came up with that phrase, but It was so astounding to see the fourth one in there, and that fourth one was so distinctive that he said, this is otherworldly. This is out of my mind here. I've never seen anything like it. It must be the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, he knew from whence they came, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They came out at the king's beckoning call, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Boy, you know, that's the first thing a fire does. But they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I remember as a little boy, you know, you have a little bit of gas. Just pour it on the fire and you light it. Phew, lights your face on fire and you have no eyebrows. That's the first thing that goes. Not even a hair was singed. Isn't God good? So Nebuchadnezzar's plan for this rebellion to be simply a momentary interruption did not come about. You know, we know that things do not always go as planned, for God had another plan. And that plan was the deliverance of the body of each of his faithful children. You know, God has a plan for your body. He's going to give you a new one. That's his plan. Our plan on earth is to keep this body as long as possible. Oh, the scientists say, well, you know, in 100 years, you'll be living 150 years. Wonder, you know, Social Security, you get a Social Security when you're 135. Oy, oy, oy. I got to work that long? Wow, I'm excited. That's our plan. Live as long as possible. But you know, God has a better plan for you. But he chose to save these three. And in the saving of these three, he revealed himself to the king and those who came to worship the great idol. You know, God is not going to have any gods before him, and he could have chosen to destroy this idol with a stone made without hands. He could have done that. Remember, he forecast that to take place in the end times, when that stone made without hands, who is Christ, comes and destroys the feet of the last Gentile kingdom. But he could have chosen to destroy this idol on the plain of Dura with this stone made without hands, but instead he chose to reveal himself through the salvation of the body of these three faithful Hebrews. That's our God. That's how our God operates. But Nebuchadnezzar, expecting to see a burning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, looked intently into the furnace and was amazed to see them walking in the midst of the furnace. They had been bound hand and foot, but you know what happened to the bindings? They burned off. Oh, wouldn't their wrists be burned? No, their wrists weren't burned. That fire was very, very specific. It was under the command of God to do its bidding. You know, God has a command of the fire. And those bindings were no longer holding them, for the flames had consumed the ropes, but had done nothing to harm the three. This was an astounding event by itself, but God added another astounding event to the view that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and that was a fourth person in the fire, walking with them in the fire, fellowshipping with them in the fire. And this fourth person had the appearance of royalty, even with a godlike appearance. Nebuchadnezzar thought his eyes were deceiving him. I need a second opinion here. Am I seeing something that's not there? So he turns to his counselors and said, "Counselors, didn't we throw three men in the fire, and yet I see four walking in the fire?" And of course, they confirmed what he said, being the yes men they were. But it was true. The fourth man in the fire was not like the other three, but stood apart, and he was described as though he were the Son of God. Because of this astounding event, Nebuchadnezzar was drawn as close to the door of the furnace as he could safely go, and he called the three by name, telling them to come out. You know, I find it interesting that the men stayed in the furnace until ordered to come out by the king. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? They were thrown in the furnace. They found themselves alive in the furnace. You'd think that they would rush out, but no, they stayed in the furnace until ordered to come out. They had fellowship with their Savior, the fourth person in the furnace. And no doubt they had no desire to end this sweet time, but they also yielded to the authority of the king. You know, the authority ordered them in and the authority ordered them out. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, when he called the fourth man the Son of God, he called them by their names, and he also attached this to their names, the servants of the Most High God. He recognized the deliverer of these three. This was the same high God that had visited him in his dream of chapter 2. There's been other visitations here. So we see a continual drawing by God taking place in the life of this pagan king. And as we go through the book of Daniel, we will see its conclusion in the salvation of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, along with the vast crowds, had witnessed the hand of God in the behalf of these three faithful children who had chosen to obey God rather than men. You know, what a lesson that is for us to impart to our children. You know, there's a higher priority than man. And we've talked about having a mind that lives in the eternal, have we not? Rather than the temporal. The men and women of this world without Christ live with minds of temporal thinking. These three lived with minds of eternal thinking, and they said to themselves, we ought to obey God rather than men. We've seen that the Lord took off their bindings. They were still clothed, no harm to their clothing. Not a hair had been singed. Even the smell of smoke was absent. Adam and I went into the surveyor's office a couple of weeks ago, and wow, it was not a public office. We came out smelling of smoke, didn't we? But there was no smell of smoke on these men. They were completely delivered from that which Nebuchadnezzar had intended for their destruction. And the only thing we're told that was burned from their bodies was their bindings. The ropes that were designed to hold them were consumed by the fire. They were freed by that which was designed to destroy. You know, that's so typical of our God. Men think that they're going to destroy us, but simply they usher us into the presence of God. You know, those martyrs of the past who stood up for God and took their place at the stake or took their place on the chopping block. Yes, men thought that they were destroying them, but they simply ushered them into the presence of God. You know, God takes the wrath of men and uses it for his praise. When God saves, he always removes the bindings of men over man. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel. Now here he calls the Son of God the angel, and delivered his servants that trusted in him. He recognized that there was a trust by these three in the Most High God, and have changed the king's word. That just didn't happen. That never happened, but here it did happen, because the Most High God is just that, the Most High. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. That points us to a scripture in the New Testament, we're to present our bodies. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now the intention of the king, as given in the beginning passages of chapter 3, had been to press all of his subjects into the worship of the great image that was the centerpiece of his new religion. In the doing of this, the God of the Jew was to be subordinated along with all the other gods. There was no denial of the gods. But the God of the Jew was to be put in along with all of the other gods. Now, this is no problem to those who believe in many gods, for all gods of this sort fit into ecumenicalism. You know, these folks that make room for other religions and are tolerant of other religions are ecumenical. They say our God is on equal par with the gods of other religions. Therefore, we should be tolerant of other religions. But my Bible says, there is no name given among men whereby ye must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. But one thing about those who worship the God of the Jew is that they do not fit into ecumenicalism, for there is no other God before them. That's clear in the scriptures. There's no room in our mind for other gods, for the scriptures tell us that we are not to have any other gods before us. But the king's intention was to subordinate this God, but our God allowed none of this to come to pass, For he had three men who refused to compromise. You know, God's looking for one good man to stand for him. The vast crowds did not know that God and you make a majority in any community. Did you know that? You can stand for God in any community, in any situation. But by the refusal of the three Hebrews to bow, the king's intention of turning his nation to worship the idol failed. The king's intention to place all worship, including the worship of the God of the Jews, beneath the worship of the idol had also failed. All of Nebuchadnezzar's efforts to thwart the plan of God and to make his kingdom eternal, in spite of the dream of God, was to no avail, and the king fell on his knees before the very God he had wished to place amongst the false gods. Remember that question that he asked the three who refused to bow? He said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" I'm sure that it was said in a cynical way. "We'll see about the God that'll deliver you from this fiery furnace." But here, in this passage that we've read, it's interesting, we find the king himself answering that question. In verse 28, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies." He asked the question, "Who is this God?" And here he answers this question. Yes, it's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, even this pagan king recognized the need to present their bodies to their God, as Paul instructs those in Christ's church to do so in Romans 12:1. You know, if you present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, then whatever man does to it is irrelevant. Because you've presented it to God, it's God's body. And man can do what man chooses to that body, but it's God who gives the increase. So Nebuchadnezzar blessed the God of these three Hebrews as the God who had delivered them from their death. And he also praised them for their faithfulness in obeying their God even unto death. And he also recognized their exclusive worship of their God, that they might not serve nor worship any God except their God. You know, as a Christian, we have an exclusive worship of our God. We are not to worship any other God. And then, of course, the king being the king goes to this measure, and he declares punishment for any who interfere with the free worship of the Jew. You know, prior to this, had not these three stood, what would have happened to the worship of the Jew during this 70-year exile? Here we see an edict by the king, by Nebuchadnezzar, for those who wish to interfere with the religion of the Jews, freedom of religion for the Jews during this time. And he seeks to ensure that nothing happens to those that believe exclusively in the God of the Jews. And he speaks and says that if anyone interferes with their worship, he shall be torn from limb to limb and their property confiscated. All of this as a result of God showing himself able to deliver these three. And then finally, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego promoted even to a higher position because they chose to obey God rather than men. That's the lesson that we have here in this passage. But you know, that lesson is from a mind that thinks eternally, beyond this life, beyond that which you can see or touch or feel or sense. You think of where God is taking you rather than where man is taking you. You know, it's interesting to note that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did resulted in great reward on earth in the kingdom of Babylon. But had God chose to not deliver their bodies from the fiery furnace, how much greater their reward would have been in heaven immediately. So they had it both ways. They were rewarded on this earth for their faithfulness, but they would have been rewarded in heaven for their faithfulness. So everything's a win-win situation for the Christian, is it not? Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for this wonderful passage that encourages us, Father, to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in any situation we're in. Lord, if we think upon the eternal, these things of earth shall grow dim and they'll fade from our sight as we think about and see the glories of heaven. Help us, Father, to be an eternal people, realizing that we have, if we know Christ, at this moment, we have eternal life. Bless our pastor, Father, as he speaks to us this morning. May our ears be given, may our hearts be open to the message, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.